Discussions of forest practices on private land in Oregon tend to turn to regulations, specifically the Oregon Forest Practices Act. It guides how timber is cut in Oregon with relation to landforms like streams and slopes. How well it guides logging is a constant matter of debate. And the concerns about the Forest Practices Act are highlighted in a film called Behind the Emerald Curtain, one of the films featured at this weekend's Siskiyou Film Fest in Grants Pass. Two guests join us. Shane Anderson is the filmmaker who made Behind the Emerald Curtain. Shane, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Janine Moy is with us as well. She is overseeing the Siskiyou Film Fest in her duties as Conservation Associate for the environmental group KS Wild. Good to have you here, Janine.
It's wonderful to be here.
So let's start with you. The Film Fest has been going on for how many years now?
This is the 14th annual. It was started by the Siskiyou Project, Barry Snitkin, and in 2005 we joined forces with them, and we're happy to carry on his legacy.
Well, and I noticed the mention of the legacy. We had Barry Snitkin on in previous years. What has become of Barry?
Yeah, he passed away last year. He was fortunately able to make it to the Film Fest last year. And this year, we're happy to pay tribute to him. Alice DiMaselli is going to play a song she wrote for him. And we're glad to carry on his legacy and just continue to surround ourselves with a community that he helped create.
What was Barry's original vision for the Siskiyou Film Fest?
Film Fest was meant to inspire people to action, to show films that educate people about the area, issues that are going on, and get them to act.
Shane Anderson, tell us about the making of Behind the Emerald Curtain. And I mean, we've been hearing concerns about the Oregon Forest Practices Act for years. I'm a little surprised to find out that nobody else has done something quite like what you've done here.
Well, we started filming about a year ago. I produced it in conjunction with Pacific Rivers, formerly Pacific Rivers Council. And as an organization, I'm also a board member of that organization. And as an organization, we felt like the Oregon Forest Practices Act is one of the most important topics along the entire West Coast to address right now. California's upgraded their logging laws on private lands. Washington's upgraded their logging laws, even Idaho. But Oregon is still managing in this archaic way and logging through streams that are non-fish-bearing and have small buffers along fish-bearing streams, logging on steep slopes, and obviously the herbicide issues that is very prevalent in Oregon and doesn't seem to be anywhere else.
So, helicopter spraying in particular.
Absolutely, absolutely. So set out and didn't quite know what I was going to see when I stepped beyond the Emerald Curtain, but it was very shocking, and especially when I got in the air in a little Cessna and did some aerial filming. Some of Oregon's most iconic watersheds have been nuked in the past 10 years, especially with the Seletz River in particular.
Yeah, which is where the film starts. The idea of an Emerald Curtain itself, though, what is the reference there?
Well, I think everybody in the Northwest has driven down the highway and seen the little beauty buffer strips that shield massive clear cuts on either side, and it's meant to kind of shield the view from the public to what's going on the landscape.
So you see big green trees right down to the road, but then just beyond that is clear cuts often?
Yeah, absolutely. And often the beauty buffer strips along the road are larger than on some of the bigger rivers in Oregon.
So in terms, again, of coverage of this issue, it seems like the word would have gotten out. I mean, it seems like every time we talk about forestry on private land in Oregon, somebody calls to register concerns about the Oregon Forest Practices Act. Are you a little surprised that there wasn't more out there like what you have done here?
I am surprised. I mean, the last really monumental film effort in Oregon forest practices was Task Creek, which was made in the late 60s, early 70s, and it would go on to change the way the Forest Service and the BLM managed their lands. The power of this little 10-minute film that I encourage everybody to go online and check out, an amazing piece shot up in the upper Umpqua on Steamboat Creek. And honestly, some of the places I've seen in the past year in Oregon still resemble what they were shooting in Pass Creek in the early 70s.
Really? That it looks pretty much the same as what happened back then?
On some private lands for sure. You know, like slash completely filled in creeks, some logging roads over creeks without culverts I've seen. All sorts of stuff that I've never seen up in Washington or in California.
We have a couple of clips that we pulled from behind the Emerald Curtain, just so folks can get a listen to what goes on in the film. And let's play the first of those now, so you can hear what this sounds like.
Our resources have been used to serve huge corporate industries. Just past this little tiny wall of green trees and out behind our house is actually just miles of devastation.
Oregon is this interesting state in that it's perceived as being this very green, progressive state, but some of our laws are actually quite regressive.
To see the magnitude of clear cuts in square miles is nothing short of flabbergasting.
We tend to opt towards privatizing the gain and socializing the pain.
We're not arguing that they don't cut these forests. What we're arguing for is balance in how these forests are managed.
So, Shane, let's talk about that balance spoken of there. I mean, what do you want to see happen in the way of changes to the Oregon Forest Practices Act? And if it's set to match up with similar laws in California and Washington, how would it change?
Well, I think kind of the overarching theme is that what happens on private land should not affect the people downstream or the public commons. So I would like to see them, the managers in Oregon, the Oregon Board of Forestry, follow their own science, for one. They suggest that to meet the cold water criteria, about 50% of the time you need 120-foot buffer along streams. And previously, up until this year, it had been 40 feet, and it took several years to get it up to 80 feet this year, but it's still significantly under what the scientists have to say. So I think following science would be the number one thing. And coming into compliance with the neighboring states, obviously the other states have changed because it was an issue. And, whether it's logging on steep slopes, herbicide issues or the buffer issues, protecting the public commons is what I think we would all like to see.
Shane Anderson is the filmmaker who is behind the film called Behind the Emerald Curtain. It's about a half an hour and about the Oregon Forest Practices Act. Largely, it is one of three films showing at the Siskiyou Film Fest, the 14th annual, tomorrow in Grants Pass. Janine Moy from KS Wild, which is the sponsoring organization, is with us in the studio as well. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Janine, given that there's a shorter program this year and one day instead of two at the festival, was it kind of a no-brainer to put in Behind the Emerald Curtain?
Yeah, we were really excited to see that Pacific Rivers. And Shane, thank you for your work, for putting it out. It's something that we are thinking about right now, and a lot of our members are concerned about. Shane was mentioning the increased stream buffer zones of trees just recently passed this year, and particularly disturbing for our membership in the Klamath Siskiyou region is that buffers under this ruling were exempt for the Siskiyou region. So we're hoping to see the same protection as the rest of Oregon, and that's something that we're going to be collecting petition signatures for in addition to at our film festival.
So the buffers, we're talking about the width of the tree curtains.
The tree
corridor along.
The streams
will not get larger in the Klamath Siskiyou region.
We're hoping it will, but
that's not how. But as currently planned.
Yeah, it was exempt, Siskiyou exemption.
Why?
The forests around here are a little bit different than a lot of Western Oregon, a little bit drier in some spaces, and they don't necessarily require less protection from for the stream temperatures, but I can't tell you all the reasons for the influences of the forests of the timber companies, but we'd like to see them equally protected.
Janine mentioned Pacific Rivers. Shane, talk about the organization backing Behind the Emerald Curtain.
Well, Pacific Rivers is formerly Pacific Rivers Council, and we work across the entire West Coast to protect rivers and watersheds. And the Oregon Forest Practices Act happens to be one of the most important topics right now that we would like to work on reforming over the next several years. So I encourage everyone out there to get involved and go check out the website.
There are lots of facets to the story you tell in Behind the Emerald Curtain. Did you attempt to get comments directly from the timber industry? Or is an environmental group asking to put a timber industry on tape, a difficult thing these days?
This was more of an expose. I was trying to get the perspective from someone that worked in the timber industry, but I couldn't find that right person to talk. And I also wanted to showcase the communities and people that were affected by the Oregon Forest Practices Act. And one of the driving issues is the effect on public water systems in Oregon. According to the Department of Environmental Quality, there were 237 water systems and public water systems in Oregon last year that failed to meet EPA standards due to dirty drinking water. And Rockaway Beach up in on the north coast was one of them. And the community, not only aren't meeting the EPA standards, but they had to spend $1.6 million to retrofit their treatment plant after their entire watershed was clear-cut over a 10-year period. So I wanted to showcase these different communities and people that are actually directly affected by these laws.
Now, in the cases you're talking about with the 237 public water systems that didn't meet standards, is this primarily for silting and things that could be traced back directly to logging?
Absolutely. Most of it is trihalomethane pollution, which is what happens when you combine sediment load and the chlorine that they use to disinfect the water in public water systems. Those two have a chemical reaction, and it's carcinogenic. And that's happening all over Oregon. And there's also evidence that herbicides are showing up in public water systems in Oregon, too.
All right, we have another clip I want to play from Behind the Emerald Curtain, and this one deals with some of the effects of the logging. So let's hear this second clip.
If you have an entire watershed that's clear-cut in a decade or two, or even three, you'll have a major portion of that landscape that is in a state of a reduced root strength for a fairly long period of time. And if you happen to get that 50- or 100-year storm during that period, you'll have a lot of the land being essentially vulnerable to sliding at a higher rate than it would have without that kind of practice.
Thousands of miles of logging roads were carved out of the landscape, triggering landslides and transporting sediment to the rivers below, which created torrents of mud that suffocated salmon eggs and delivered dirty drinking water to communities downstream.
Another clip there from Behind the Emerald Curtain. Shane Anderson, the filmmaker, on the line with us. Janine Moy from KS Wild is with us as well. This will be showing at the Siskiyou Film Fest in Grants Pass tomorrow. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join us by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. When people hear about things like landslides and silt getting into streams, I mean, the response is, there is a law to take care of that. But how unstringent do you find the Oregon Forest Practices Act on things like steepness of slope upon which cutting can take place?
I personally have never seen anywhere across the West Coast, and I spend a lot of time in the woods, a lot of time filming out there and fishing and hunting, and I've never seen logging that's on slopes as steep as I have in some places, especially in the Celeste Gorge. I mean, there are slopes there that it's amazing that a logger could even stand on it. I don't even know how it's possible. So essentially, it's a huge risk because we can't predict the weather. We're living in this ever-changing climate right now with these really extreme weather systems that come in and dump a bunch of rain or droughts, and the logging on steep slopes with that reduced root strength is a recipe for disaster.
Let's take a call. We have Natalie in Portland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Shane Anderson and Janine Moy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to applaud Shane and Pacific Rivers for making this film and say thank you to KS Wild for showing it in the area. I've seen it up here in Portland, and it was really eye-opening. And I've also heard a lot of people at the screening be really frustrated that, they feel somewhat powerless, that they can't do anything. And we need more people behind this effort. We need people to sign petitions. We need people to join as members of Pacific Rivers, of other organizations working on this issue, of KS Wild, and get more people behind this effort, because it's only all together that we're going to be able to make some change and have more healthier rivers and cleaner water in our communities.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Natalie. Appreciate that. Thoughts, Shane?
Absolutely. This really is going to be a battle to change this. The timber industry in Oregon is obviously extremely powerful, so people's voice needs to be heard, and using the conduits of these organizations to get the message out to legislature is essential. So I'm hoping that there will be a shift in the coming years.
The focus of Behind the Emerald Curtain, at least the parts I saw, and I admit I'm not seeing all of it, Janine, does tend to be the Oregon coast. Are you finding some of the same issues with the Oregon Forest Practices Act, though, in Southern Oregon as well, in the Klamath-Siskiyou region?
Well, KSWILD does work in Northern California and Southern Oregon. We work largely on public lands where there's a whole other suite of forest problems. But what's interesting is that when you compare the forests to those in California and the Forest Practices Act, is that there's, through CEQA in California, there's ability of the public to have input in the process. And in Oregon, we don't have that.
On private land?
Correct.
Okay, CEQA being the California Environmental Quality Act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about the other films that you have at the Siskiyou Film Festival. It's not all Behind the Emerald Curtain. A River Between Us, we've had Jason Atkinson on twice talking about this. Give us a little description about it.
It's a film about some of the people that were involved with the Klamath Basin River agreements as related to irrigation and taking out the dams. And I think it's an interesting time to show the film because though it came out a year ago, so many things have happened since, and we just heard last week that California and Oregon have gotten together, and it looks like the dams are going to come out, circumventing congressional stalemate.
Not sitting around waiting for Congress to act, in other words, yeah.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that, and the film is really great itself in that it shows some people who were involved and came together to try to move forward with restoration in the basin. It's a good people film.
When picking films for something like the Siskiyou Film Fest, I mean, are you trying to find a mix between films that play it down the middle, as I think A River Between Us largely does, and films that are advocating a position as Behind the Emerald Curtain does?
Yeah, well, you know, it's up to what's out there. And then secondly, we're looking for films that were relevant to our region, the Klamath Siskiyou, and to get people thinking about what's going on. Mainly we want to just expose issues and start discussions and bring a community together to think about these things. A Fisherman's Son, for instance, is not in this area. It takes place in Chile, but some of the issues there are relevant to the region in which we live, kind of analogous situations and even landscape. And again, it's a story of a person who is motivated to protect his homeland. And I think people really relate to that, to the story of people.
So because you are at one day this year instead of two at the Siskiyou Film Fest, this is a one-shot deal. So every film shows once in that one evening tomorrow and it's done?
Yeah, short and sweet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was that by design? I mean, is that the way you wanted it to be, or was it just a set of circumstances that led to it?
Well, you know, over the years, the Film Fest has evolved, and this year happened to the choice to make it one night really relied on the venue only being available for the evening. But I think Film Fest goers will enjoy it. You know, just it's an 800-person auditorium, and we're going to pack the house and just have a really good time on a Friday night.
This is the Performing Arts Center at Crans Pass High School?
Correct, yeah.
Starting when? When does the program
begin? The doors
are
at 4:30. There's food available and a number of other organizations that will be tabling as part of our opening reception. And then the films begin at 6.
At 6 o'clock. Okay, and then run until how long into the evening?
Until about 9:45.
Okay, so not a very terribly long program. It's sort of like going to see Gone with the Wind, except you get to see three films instead of one.
Yeah, and we'll have intermission and a raffle and prizes.
And no Southern accents.
Maybe some jokes.
All right. Some jokes as well. Raffles and prizes. What kind of things are you raffling off?
I'm really excited. Indigo Creek Outfitters donated a trip on the Upper Klamath, which is a sporty, fun day trip. We have some hats from Sunday Afternoons, some books of local authors. We have a lot of gift certificates to some Grants Pass eateries, and it's just a really nice showing of local businesses and folks who support KSWILD and are staying involved.
Let's come back to you, Shane Anderson, and talk more about Behind the Emerald Curtain, because there are a couple different facets in here, again, that go beyond just like, oh, my God, look at this clear cut, including taxes that come from timber severance that used to go to local governments that you're pointing out now go to the Oregon Forest Resource Institute. What's that about?
Timber tax. I believe it was 1999 is when the legislature took the basically made a clause that took the taxes away from the counties and the roads and the schools that where that timber was coming off the land. You know, the timber taxes used to go back to it, and now they go toward, well, 28% of them go toward the Oregon Forest Resource Institute, to which I'm sure you've heard the radio spots and the TV ads touting how great the Oregon Forest Practices Act is. The public service campaign, basically, for the timber industry. If you look at all the board members, they're a part of it. So that's where a lot of the timber tax is going now, instead of back to fixed county roads and schools and people that are affected by the timber industry.
You mentioned the political power of the timber industry, which would appear to be considerable, which is why the Oregon Forest Practices Act still exists the way it does in Oregon versus what it's like in neighboring states. So what hopes do you have in terms of trying to get changes through the legislature?
Well, we hope that this film will showcase some things that some folks in the legislature haven't seen, maybe, or at least rally public support to put pressure on those folks to make adequate changes. You know, the point of this wasn't to, it was to take a hit at the laws. It wasn't to take a hit at the industry or jobs or any of that. I mean, we all recognize that that's a very important part of Oregon's economy, but we feel that there's better ways to do it. And clearly Washington is making money in the timber industry with much better laws. So what's the big deal in Oregon? Why can't the laws be updated?
All right. Shane Anderson's film is called Behind the Emerald Curtain. It is one of three films at the Siskiyou Film Fest starting again. When, Janine Moy?
Tomorrow, 4:30 doors, 6 o'clock films.
And how much to get in?
It's $15, $10 for students and seniors.
It's a bargain.
Yeah.
Siskiyou Film Fest tomorrow at Grants Pass High School. I'm Jeffrey Riley. This has been Janine Moy and Shane Anderson. Thank you for listening to this hour of the Jefferson Exchange.